Praise the Lord, everyone. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So grateful to be able to come before you once again. I pray that you are learning something or gleaning some things from this message series, The Signs of the Times. These are what you call eschatological teachings, or the study of eschatology, which simply means the study of last things. And it's not too often that we hear messages that are preached or taught concerning the end times, but it's good to have a working knowledge or good Bible knowledge concerning what the Word of God speaks of in the latter day. And we know that we are here and approaching his imminent return. And I just pray that, you will also, take the time to study the Word of God for yourself. It's always good to, follow up, with what you have heard spoken through ministers or preachers, to make sure that, we're telling you the truth. Too many times I find that people would rather just sit and eat instead of, researching things for themselves. But how do you know if you're eating the right thing? How do you know if you're being told the truth? It's good for you to, follow up by searching out the scriptures for yourself. And I'm very good about giving you Bible references and exactly what scripture reference I am using. So if you're listening and, you want to write down the scripture, follow up, praise God, and so that you know that whatever you're being taught is coming from the Word of God. Amen. So we are now on lesson 4 of the Signs of the Time series, and we're going to continue on with part 2 of the rapture. And we will discuss particularly what happens after the rapture take place. Now, the rapture, as you were told in the previous lesson, is an event that pertains to the church, which will be caught up to meet Christ in the air. And I gave you the scripture found in Thessalonians, which lets us know that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain will immediately be translated into their incorruptible, glorified bodies. Also, at this time, the fullness of Gentiles will be completed, and the church age comes to an end. The greatest benefit of being a member of Christ's church is not having to pass through the tribulation period. When the bridegroom comes to redeem his bride, we will be delivered from this evil world and spared from the wrath to come. 2 Peter verses 2 and 9 declares, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So, one thing that you must be sure of is that you are among the godly. Your soul salvation is a very serious matter, and it is too late in the day to be halted between two opinions. Some people just cannot make up their mind whether they want to serve God or not. But it's too late in the day to be on the fence about serving God. It's too late in the day to revert back to the things that you used to do. before the Lord saved you. The night is far spent, the time is at hand, and Jesus is soon to come. As Paul said, you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Apostle Peter wrote, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In consideration of all these things, should Jesus return and you are not striving to live holy, partaking in ungodliness, and spending your days as a worker of iniquity, do you think that you will be spared? Not so. 1 Peter verses 4, chapter 4, excuse me, verse 17 and 18 reads, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? The scripture says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now here we are saved, and we think that we are doing all that we can do, and we're living a holy life. But even with all that, the scripture says that the righteous will scarcely be saved. Now that's something to think about. So if you're not a part of the righteous and you're a part of the ungodly, he's asking, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear if the righteous is scarcely going to make it in? Think about it. While there is still time, those that do not know Jesus in the pardon of sin can do so before it is too late. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you can be saved today and become a member of Christ's church. Now, the most compelling aspect of the rapture, as mentioned, is that it will be without a sign. And as I ran through a few scenarios in my mind, I thought about the reality of what people who are not elected to be raptured out will see. Jesus said that some will be taken and others will be left. So picture being on a highway and every driver is going 65 miles per hour. And at some point, Jesus appears and some are taken at the driver's wheel. There will be car crashes everywhere. It would be epic. Picture being in a supermarket and you are in an aisle that is full of people, but in the next second you turn around and all you see is shopping carts full of food, clothing on the floor where the person pushing the shopping cart was. And then you go to the cash register and half of the cashiers are gone. It will be the most startling event at the close of this dispensation. But do you know what the biggest surprise will be? There will be so many professing Christians left behind, and among them, ministers, preachers of the gospel who did not practice what they preached, and also guilty of abusing their power in the gospel. The same people who were hearers of the word and not doers of the word will soon face the harsh reality of what just happened, but it will be too late. So what happens to the saints immediately after they are caught out? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through verse 55 reads, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" This confirms that the saints who died believing in the promise, whether Old Testament or church age, will be resurrected and their bodies will be raised incorruptible. The bodies of living believers will at the same time be instantaneously changed, and the transition from corruptible to incorruptible, immortality to immortality will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be translated in midair. And because Jesus subdued and conquered death, death will have no power over us. We will live forever and shall die no more. And we can say hallelujah and amen to that. We will no longer have to deal with the frailties of this human body. Our new bodies will be incorruptible, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. Now, the Bible also gives us to know that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5 lets us know that they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So after the rapture, the saints will be judged immediately. The judgment of the saints will not be the same as it will be for unbelievers, nor will it determine if they will have a place in heaven. When Jesus comes for the church, they are transported directly to heaven, and the believer's eternal salvation is secure. The judgment for the believers has to do with the awards we will receive according to our works, or if our works will be burned and we suffer loss. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive an award. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So in that coming day, some of our works may be accepted and some may be burned. He whose work shall be burnt will suffer loss, but though his works be consumed, he will yet be saved. To put things in perspective, salvation is a free gift, but rewards are earned for the works that we do in Christ's name while we are here, and will be given to the saints at the coming of the Lord. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." He said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Next, we will talk about what happens after the church is removed. The one thing that holds true when it comes to the church is that the Spirit of God and the power of God is with his people. So the Holy Spirit will have gone back with the raptured ones. And if you think the state of this world is bad now, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, it will get exceedingly worse. The Holy Spirit, is the restrainer that prevents Satan from taking lawlessness to the next level. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 reads, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinder will hinder until he be taken out of the way." The working of the mystery of lawlessness began in the apostles' time and has since been under divine restraint. After the Holy Spirit is taken out, nothing will prevent the rapid degeneration of the moral and spiritual state of the world among those who are left here. Some people fail to realize that the earth is the devil's domain. He is the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. The believers are the light of the world, in whom the Lord has invested in us the power to break up darkness. The attacks on the church since its formation were mainly orchestrated by the devil in his attempt to overthrow it. But despite some departing from the faith, in spite of some church doors closing, the true church is still standing. The faithful bride is still waiting for the bridegroom. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He built the church upon himself, and she shall not be moved until he returns and remove her. So when the light is gone out of the world, darkness will prevail. Sin and iniquity will abound. Inhumane conduct will increase. The hearts of men will harden even more. And there will be a worldwide apostasy of the professing church. And for the sake of clarity, the term apostasy means falling away. It is the act whereby professing or Christians, you know, who say that they are Christians, begin to denounce or reject revealed truths. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 reads, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." There will be a defection from sound doctrine, instituted worship, church government, and a holy life. During this great apostasy, the scripture says, the man of sin, the son of perdition, will then be revealed. This revelation is pertaining to the rise of Antichrist. And I am going to end it here. The Antichrist will be the topic of discussion in lesson 5. And so until then, I say to you, stay prayerful. I say to you, if you're not saved, it is time to consider and take the olive branch while it is still being extended to you. We are yet in the church age, awaiting the rapture that is imminent. But until that happens, there's still time for you. The Lord wants you to be in that number, not amongst those who will be left behind. And many times the word that comes forth is being directed towards the ones that belong to him anyway. Sometime sheep go astray and the shepherd has to go look for them and bring them back into the fold. And so if you are a backslider, I want you to know that you can be restored. A simple a prayer of repentance will work for you. If you have never heard the preaching of the gospel and this is your first time, salvation is simple. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the word of God says that you shall be saved. All right, and so the bottom line is the Lord knows the ones that belong to him, and I pray that you will want to be in the number, praise God, before the door closes. And so thank you for listening once again, and God bless you. Until next time, peace and love. Amen.